Well, I knew that we were on the right track today together because one of the passages that I have in my talk today is that exact passage from Ephesians. Isn't God fun? I love to watch him do that sort of thing. And here's one part of that that I want to just pull out. It says, "It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up." You know, that's a really important part of the message today. It's not just so the pastor and the leaders of the church can do the service and the ministry work. It is for all of us, so that we can all go about doing what God's called us to do, right? But today we're going to get right into it, and we're going to talk about the most important thing, shoes. Shoes, yes! Ladies, you know how important shoes are in our walk of faith. You know, now how many women in this room own quite a few pairs of shoes? You know what? The average woman owns over 40 pairs of shoes. I don't, but my husband would say, "Look in your closet, honey." Okay, so if we're going to talk about shoes today, let's talk about these. Now, where might you wear these shoes? Somebody? The kids last hour were wonderful. Where do you think you'd wear those? To the park. Very good. Where do you think you might wear these shoes? No, you don't know? Someone else? You might wear it to the park. Where else might you wear these shoes? The gym. That's awesome. Okay, what about this? I am so glad that I had these with me when I came to visit you because it was 70 degrees when I left North Carolina. Where might you wear these? Snow. Right, and when you go in the snow, maybe you're shoveling someone's walk. What about girls? Where would you wear these? On a date. Where else would you wear these? A wedding? When I talk about shoes today, and I'm going to get these out of the way because I had them in the pastor's way last service, and he's like, he felt like he was at home kicking the shoes out of the way. So when we're talking about shoes, shoes really help get you from one place to another. They represent where you go and the time you spend. And they also represent the different roles and responsibilities we have in our life. You know, there's a lot of times that we can look in our closet, we can see all of those different kinds of shoes. And they really do represent where God is taking us every single day. And I don't know what your job is, but maybe could it be that our shoes represent opportunities for ministry? I want to share a story with you that happened a few years ago. I was flying from North Carolina to Portland, Oregon, and had to stop in Houston. And when I made the reservations, a guy that I worked with was supposed to go with me, and I made the reservations on cheaptickets.com and got on there and was supposed to leave Monday morning. And I thought it said Greensboro Airport, which was about a half an hour from us. When it came back, it said, "You'll be leaving out of Raleigh-Durham," which was a two-hour drive, which meant that we had to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning on Monday morning. He said, "What?" But it is what it is. We had to go. So we got to Raleigh Airport. You know, God never works the way we think he should work. So I get to the airport and I'm tired. We had had a busy Sunday the night before, the day before, and we were just tired. And so I was looking forward to a little rest on my flight. And I sat down, I got all cozied in, and I heard this on my heart, because right next to me was this young girl who was just a nervous wreck. She was just wringing her hands and she was sweating and she was so upset. And I felt God, and I said, "I see her, Lord, but, you know, I'm tired. You know, I had a long day yesterday." I finally said, okay, is this your first time flying? Yes, yes. Well, come to find out, she was 18 years old. She was scared to death of flying. And as God would have it, from North Carolina all the way to Houston, I was able to talk to her about, you don't need to be afraid. God's in control. And we're all okay. And I was able to get my Bible out and start reading through some passages. And by the time we landed in Houston, this little girl, Sherlon, had prayed and accepted Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. I got off the plane and we're hugging in the gate. And my guy from work gets off and he goes, you just met her. I said, I know. Now I know why I had to walk through Raleigh-Durham. God had some other appointment for me. And God has appointments for you too. I was able to go to walk this little girl to her next gate. I said, where are you leaving out of? She said, gate E19 or something. I was E20. I said, let's go. And we walked all the way down through the gate. And then across the gate was a bookstore. I went in and bought her a Bible. And I highlighted all the things that she needed to keep tucked in her heart and read as she flew on to LA and I went to Portland, Oregon. God was in the business of saying, wherever you're going, I've got a message that I need you to take with you. So the Greek word for ministry throughout the New Testament is diakonia. And diakonia means ministry and service. It's used both ways, but 32 times in the New Testament, God uses this word because he wants to know that it's not just up to the pastor and the leaders of your church. It's not up to your Sunday school teachers to know what the Bible says and how you are to live. It's up to us. And God is calling each one of us, no matter what shoes we have on and no matter where we're going, that we have a mission and we have something that God wants to do through us. And here, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service, for diakonia, so that the body of Christ may be built up. Ministry is not just for pastors. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. That word go in the Greek, therefore go, really means as you are going. As you're going about your life, God's saying, where are your shoes taking you? What is it that you're doing every day that takes you into works of service, into ministry opportunities? And don't be afraid because I'm going with you. You don't have to be afraid of where I'm calling you to go. When God was knocking on my heart that day, I didn't really want to do it. But once I did, I was able to look back and say, wow, wow. That was an absolute call of God. So wherever we're walking, whatever we're doing, God is in the middle of it. So I want to just read through a few passages of biblical truth. And the reason I do this is because we have to learn how to tuck God's truth into our heart. We have to really own it and learn it and be able to understand God's word for us. And so I'm just going to read through some that, for me, are huge. Genesis 2, the Lord God said, it's not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. You know, I have my husband Dwight with me, and he's retired, thank goodness, because now he's able to go with me to most places that I go. But he is such a sweet, wonderful support of everything that God calls me to do. So I am a helper to him and he's a helper to me. And in the family, this is what God has called us to do. She gets up while it's still night. She provides food for her family and portions for her female servants. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat of the bread of idleness. You know, for me, there's a lot of girls that work. I work. And so sometimes we feel a little guilty about that, but God is calling you to wear different shoes and to walk in different paths and go where He's taking you. And it's okay when He's called you to those places to do ministry. And I teach Bible studies at my house a lot of times. And when I do, I always have a prayer request, but they only can do two things. They give me the need and the name. The name and the need. I don't need to know all of the gory details, because I think what happens a lot of times when we as women get together, we start out as a prayer request, and then we kind of take it and we tell more than we need to, and pretty soon it turns into gossip and we end up sitting around drinking coffee and we have the bread of idleness. And God says, no, wherever your shoes are taking you, I need you to be in my word, praying for one another, and make this a good service for me. And she sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. The next group of biblical truth: however, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. You know, I have the privilege of working with Dr. Gary Chapman and his wife. They live in our town, and he wrote the 5 love languages. And he just really emphasizes how men need respect. Sometimes they don't earn it, can I be honest? But they need, that's what they're searching for, that's what they long for, is respect. And women want to be loved. We want to be loved. And so that little passage right there is so important for us to get that piece right. Wives, be subject to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be embittered against them. You know, this is something that maybe you're not married today. Maybe you have gone through some tough times in your life, but maybe there are folks around you who are married and are going through some difficult things. And maybe you can come alongside them and pray with them and minister to them and help them to understand the love and respect part of marriage. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, I've got a funny story about this one. We have 4 girls and 1 boy, 10 grandchildren. And when our son went through this time of life where he was more of a challenge than all 4 of our girls put together. Amen, honey. And so when that was happening in our lives, I had a girlfriend who also had a son that was going through some stuff. And we just got together and we prayed for our boys. We just prayed and prayed and prayed. We're like, Lord. And we prayed this verse: Lord, you promised that train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. And all of a sudden, the light bulb went off. And we're like, we are praying wrong. We need to start praying that he's old. Let's start praying that God just makes them old, because then he will not depart from it. So we started praying, God, make them old before their time. My son was in college and he came home and he goes, Mom, you're not going to believe this. I'm getting gray hair. And I'm like, yes, yes, God answers prayer. This is awesome. So my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and steady, always enthusiastic about the Lord's work, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. We had a lot of men doing a lot of things this weekend that were vital. They were shoveling the walks so that we could walk in safety. They were cooking and cleaning. Nothing you do for the Lord is useless, no matter what it is. Maybe you're babysitting for a single mom. I don't know what God is calling you to do or where your shoes are taking you, but God says, when you're working for me, it's not useless. Every single thing you do in my name has value. So I want to take you to a passage that talks about Lydia. And on the Sabbath, when we went outside the city gate to the river where we expected to find a place of prayer, we sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. And one of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. She was a worshiper of God, and the Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. And when she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. "If you consider me a believer in the Lord," she said, "come and stay at my house." And she persuaded us. Lydia used her home to minister to people. And I want to just take out this other pair of shoes that I buried. See what happened, Pastor Joe, when I tried to be neat? I buried my shoes. So, hey guys, where would you wear these? At the house, right? Maybe going to bed? Maybe you just put them on and you walk around the house. Maybe your mom needs a little more coffee to deal with you. But when we're at home, we have a ministry. Actually, that's our most important ministry. Where we are every day in our home is first. Later in Acts, Paul and Silas were beaten and thrown into prison, and they went out of the prison and entered the house of Lydia. And when they saw the brethren, they encouraged them and departed. Lydia used her home for ministry. When we moved out to the area that we live in now, several years ago, we didn't know anybody, and we live in the middle of nowhere. And so I just told my husband, I want to open our house up to have a Christmas party. And I want to invite everybody that lives anywhere in the vicinity to come to our house. And because my husband is so wonderful, he said, okay, let's do it. So that was years ago, and now every year we host this Christmas party to all walks of life. I mean, there are people that believe in Jesus and there are people that don't. And there are people that we've had every kind of religion walk through our door, but they know where we stand and they know why we celebrate Christmas. And every year we stand in a circle with sometimes 50, 60, 70 people in our home, and we pray and we give thanks that God has given us the greatest gift of all at Christmas. And this last year, we had one of the couples that comes, her dad was visiting, and he came, and he was a missionary, had been a missionary, and he wrote me a letter, and he said, "Luann, thank you for opening your home and telling the world why we celebrate Christmas and what it's all about." You know, we have an opportunity, whether we're doing a Bible study, whether we're just inviting someone over for coffee, we have an opportunity to do ministry at home. The first person ever recorded to have been saved in Europe was Lydia. She was a woman of hospitality, and the word grew and God's message expanded, but she was the first. And I have to believe that maybe it's because she invited so many people into her home. I mean, she had had an encounter with the Almighty and knew that he changed lives. And you have had a story to tell. That's what our whole weekend has been about. It's been about telling your story. Telling your story and letting others see how God has moved and worked in your life. But it all starts at home. Your most important ministry is to your family, your kids, your grandkids, your aunts and uncles, your brothers and sisters. That's your most important ministry first, is at home. We had an event recently called Unspeakable Joy. And when I read this, these little bullets right here that says our first ministry is in our home, and too often we get busy. We get busy and we're afraid of the dust bunnies. We're afraid that people are going to come in and judge us if our dishes aren't done, or there's dust on the furniture, or there's laundry waiting to be folded. So we don't invite people in. And God says, would you just trust me? Open your house and do ministry from home. And our home should be a private place where we have time to get away and seek Jesus. My husband recently made me this wonderful, cozy place where every morning when I get up, that's where I go get in the Word and I find that time alone with Him to refresh and get ready for the day. But then we walk out our faith at home like this one woman did when we were getting ready to do the Unspeakable Joy event. We were getting ready to do it, and she just felt this on her heart. And she said, you know I'm supposed to call my friend who lives in New Mexico. And we were doing the Unspeakable Joy event in North Carolina. And it was based on 1 Peter. And that unspeakable joy just overwhelmed my friend. And she called this girl that she hadn't seen for years in New Mexico and said, I just wanted to call and see how you're doing and invite you to this event we're doing called Unspeakable Joy. What she didn't know is that that woman had just lost her husband of 40 plus years. And she had been praying that day, God, I don't know what to do next. He was my everything. And I don't know where to go from here. And I just really need you to show me what to do next. And she said as she was praying, she just felt God overwhelm her and say, Gloria, you need to find your joy again. And then the phone rings and it's her friend from North Carolina saying, would you come to the Unspeakable Joy event? She was like, I'm there. She came to the Unspeakable Joy event, and all throughout the day, God just kept confirming to her that He saw her. And this friend in North Carolina welcomed her in, and she stayed with her all weekend. But at the end of the Unspeakable Joy event, the stage painter on the stage had painted this beautiful scene. And she didn't know Gloria's story, but at the end she said, I just feel like I'm supposed to write the word joy on this painting. And then she turned and walked over to Gloria, and she said, God's telling me to give this to you. What if that woman had never walked the obedient walk by picking up the phone and calling this woman to come and stay at her home for a weekend? That weekend, God confirmed to Gloria that I have never left you. I have not forsaken you, and I want to bring joy back into your life. That's the way God works. And He's calling us to walk out our faith wherever He takes us, wherever our shoes may go. And a couple of years ago, I had an opportunity to go to Nebraska to speak at a retreat much like this one. And you guys don't even know what snow's like. It was so heavy and coming down that all the flights were canceled. And I kept trying to get out of the airport, and they kept changing my gates. One, I was at gate A1, then I was at gate A10, and then they took me to gate A7. And I'm sitting there and I'm just praying, Lord, you know I'm supposed to be there in a few hours. I've got to get to Nebraska. It's going to start tonight. And I'm thinking about me and how I'm going to get there. Do any of you ever do that? We're always looking at, oh, how is this affecting me? And suddenly this girl goes running up to the gate. She's crying, uncontrollably crying, talking to the gate attendant. And she said, I don't know. I need your help. I need some help when I land at the next place because I am just not thinking straight. I don't know what's going on. I just got a call that my daughter died last night, and I am trying to get there. I'm trying to get there, and I don't think I'm thinking straight. And suddenly I just was overwhelmed that I needed to just stop and pray and pray for this woman. I can't imagine the grief. And so I'm just praying, God, help this woman get through this. Comfort her. Wrap her up. And that knock was on my heart, and I just kept praying harder and harder for her. And there were a lot of seats that were empty in that gate area. And she came over and sat right down next to me. And I said, okay. And I looked at her and I said, I couldn't help but overhear your conversation. Can I pray for you? And she said, please. And she laid her head on my shoulder. And I wrapped her up. And I held her. And for the next 30 minutes, I just prayed. I prayed over Susan. I prayed that she would have comfort and be surrounded by God's people as she faced this horrible grief. And I just prayed for her. And at that moment, there was nothing more important in my world. God had walked me into that gate. And as soon as I was done praying, they called my gate somewhere else. I got on the plane and went to Nebraska. Wherever your shoes are taking you is where you are called to do ministry, and it starts at home. Last year, my husband's dad was suddenly fighting for his life, and we made several trips back to Indiana to be there with family. And I was just so overwhelmed with all the busyness in my life coming and going. There was nowhere I needed to be except right there. And everything else came to a screeching halt, and we were there. And my father-in-law was supposed to have hearing aids. You know, anybody in your family need hearing aids but don't believe they need hearing aids? Yes. Well, that was how he had always been, and he had made an appointment to get hearing aids. But instead, God had taken him down a different journey, and that very day he was supposed to have his appointment, he went to the hospital. And that's when everything took a turn. And I was sitting in the hospital with him, and we had the chance to talk to a lot of the people that were giving him care about where he was going next. And that was when I said, Dad, you never got to go get your hearing aids. And he said, you know what? I think I'm going to hear God's voice just fine. Someday we're all going to stand in front of God, and he's going to say, what did you do with what I gave you? And wherever we're walking in our shoes, wherever God is taking us, it's an opportunity to tell others about him. Someday we're going to stand there and we're going to hear his voice calling us home. And so if we align ourselves with God's biblical truth and we look for ministry opportunities wherever he takes us and we keep Jesus as the priority, he will say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Would you bow your heads with me for a minute? Heavenly Father, we come before you just so excited about the opportunities that you put into our lives. So ready, Lord, to go and do ministry, but we don't want to neglect the ministry that you've called us to right in our own home. And Father, let us put things in priority. You first, our family second, and the places where you carry us, may we speak boldly of who you are in our lives. And God, there are some people in this room who maybe have been struggling with what to do next and where you're taking them. And Lord, I just pray that you would reveal to them how their little bit of obedience in the everyday walking out their faith makes a huge impact for all eternity. Father, will you reveal to them right now that you are never going to leave them? You are never going to forsake them, and you have a plan and a purpose for them as long as they are breathing. So, Father, we lift our lives to you, and we say, Lord, lead us where you want us to go. Do your diakonia. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know if you have any kind of a decision that you want to make today, something that God has been stirring in your life. Maybe you don't even know what I'm talking about when I say have that relationship with Jesus. Whatever it is that's on your heart, maybe God's calling you into ministry and you just want to pray. Maybe you are being called to just do a better job of whatever God's called you to do in your home. I'm going to stand by the cross, and I'm going to ask some of our prayer warriors to stand there with me. So while they play, please join me if you need prayer.